If you would turn in Scripture to two places, Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to look at one verse there, and then Ephesians chapter 3, we'll look at another verse there. Last Sunday morning, I announced that if we got to that point, that last Sunday evening, I was going to preach on the question, where is the power of God? Well, you know that the Lord took over the service by the Spirit from the very first song last Sunday night. And God moved in a powerful way and accomplished eternal things in people's hearts. Brother Leitner called attention to that this week. He said, God has a sense of humor. He said, you announced your title, Where is the Power of God? And he just showed us Sunday night. Isn't that wonderful way God does? But I want to revisit that tonight, the Lord willing, and I want us to think about some things and ask the Lord to speak to us in a special way. Where is the power? I'm going to try to limit myself just to the two verses I've announced, but I love the context of both of these verses, and I'm going to have to really resist getting into the context of it, but I'm going to try to just read these two verses. So if you'd stand this evening, let's look at these verses. Ephesians chapter 1, the apostle writes, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Look where it's directed. Where's his power directed? To usward. To usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. He has his power directed to us. The verses I'm resisting to read, it tells us that that's the same power that he used to raise Jesus from the dead. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, where is the power? According to the power that worketh in us. Where is the power? I want to preach tonight that the power of God is made manifest not only in the spectacular sensation of miracles, but the power of God is made manifest in many more quiet ways without which our Christian life could not survive. I want us to think about that. The power of God's not just made manifest in sensational miracles. The power of God is made manifest in many quiet ways without the which our Christian life could not survive. We need the power of God at work in our hearts and our lives. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for those that have gathered here. God, I pray you'd shut up our hearts to the truth of your word. Move by that divine, eternal spirit. Oh, God, just show us once again your power by meeting needs in this house, personal needs, needs that have been unmentioned, oh, God, that your power would be at work. Lord, I know one thing, you're mighty to save. You can save, Lord, even in the midst of this sermon. Lord, you can deliver. You can bring reconciliation to lives and relationships, Lord, even in this service. In Jesus' name, we pray for your anointing. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. This sermon was given birth to someone who came to me in all sincerity. And in the midst of our conversation, this person asked the question, where is the power? Where is the power? Where are the healings? Where are the miracles? Where are the deliverances? Where are the victories? Where is the power? Ever since this question was asked, I haven't been able to get away from it. Where is the power? I want you to know that is a fair question. In fact, that's an insightful question. I would even have to say that that's an honest assessment of our condition that yields from us the truthful concession that we do need more power. I agree with that question. I'm not going to take away from the observation that we need more of the supernatural. I'm not going to take away from the observation that we need more demonstrations of power. I'm not going to take away from the observation that we do need revival. We do need the Spirit to move. We do need folks delivered. We do need souls saved in a mighty way and folks healed. I do not take away from that. I do not seek to relieve us of the responsibility we have to seek God to move in an even greater way. But I do wonder, perhaps, if there's not something missing from that question. In fact, this person went on to say, I'm not talking about the shout either. I do not take away from the shout as the God's Spirit began to move. But listen to me, church. What if we talked about the power of God and didn't talk about the shout? What if we talked about the power of God and didn't talk about the miracle? Would there be anything left to talk about? Or is there more to the power of God than just a demonstration in worship? Is there more to the power of God than just those occasional miracles and healings and deliverances? Is there more to the power of God than that? And I'll jump way ahead and answer the question, yes, there's much more to the power of God than in all those things. I take nothing from the power of God manifest in those things. But I'm here to preach tonight the power of God is doing many more things in our life than we even realize. In fact, you're sitting here tonight as a testimony of the power of God. You had your hands in the air tonight as a testimony of the power of God. Can you say amen this evening? You see, the scripture makes clear, the testimony is John the Baptist did no miracle. How many know scripture says that? Jesus said there's been none born of woman that's greater than John the Baptist. And brother Rose, scripture says John the Baptist did no miracle. If the power of God was only in miracles, then John the Baptist had no power of God. But oh, he did have the power of God. Amen. Where is the power? And then I've been reading through the Old Testament and early in the mornings, and it occurred to me, there's a power of God in places we don't even realize. I mean, you could read about when the children of Israel were blocked in, the Egyptian army behind them, the Red Sea in front of them, no way of escape, how Moses, at the instruction of God, stretched forth his rod over that Red Sea, and it departed by the hand and by the power of God. There was a division of that Red Sea. A dry path was made across. God got every one of the children of Israel across that Red Sea, brought those waters back on the pursuing Egyptians, and totally annihilated the armies that would take Israel back to Egypt. I'm telling you, that is a great, supernatural, extraordinary, undeniable, unmistakable example of the power of God. But I want you to know, for 40 years, every time an Israelite walked outside their tent flapped in the morning and looked on the ground, there was manna waiting to be picked up that would sustain them and give them strength and give them vitality for 40 years in the wilderness. Could I suggest to us, there was as much of the power of God in that daily provision of manna as there was in the division of the Red Sea. And I want to say enough to take nothing from it, but how many times did God divide the Red Sea? But how many times did he provide manna every morning? 40 years, 6 days a week. Oh, hallelujah. I want to preach tonight, there's as much power in the provision of the daily manna as there is in the occasional parting of the Red Sea. Thank God we need the Red Sea parted every once in a while. But I'm telling you, even more than that, we need his daily provision of heavenly manna to feed our souls. And there is much power in the manna as there is in the dividing of the sea. I got to thinking of that. You can look at Niagara Falls and say, look at the power of water. You can read about a flood that devastates and say, look at the power of water. But I want you to know there is just much power in water. You don't notice it. You don't recognize it. But water has just as much power as you drink it daily. And it hydrates your body and takes the nutrients through the system of the body. Amen. You do away with that daily drinking of water, you'll find out in a hurry how important that daily drinking of the water is. The water in Niagara Falls is the same as the water in your glass. Now I'll give it, the water in my glass that I drink, that's not near as spectacular as Niagara Falls. You can go to Niagara Falls and look at it and say, wow, as you see the power. There's not very often that you go to the tap and pour in the water in your glass and just look at it and say, ooh, wow, look at that. Ooh, look at that. But I'm telling you, that water that you take in from that glass is important to your sustenance and your vitality. Amen. Whether it's water in Niagara Falls or water in the glass, it's still powerful, powerful in your life. Amen. You can look like you, last night, you can see the power of electricity and lightning. You can see a bolt of lightning and say, look at the power of that. And that is power. I said, that is power. But I want you to know the power that runs your wristwatch is no different than the power in that lightning. You say, oh, wait a minute, that's not very important. How can you compare the lightning or the electricity in lightning with electricity from that little battery or little battery in my watch? That's not a very important thing, that little battery. Tell that to someone that's got a pacemaker. It's important, that electricity. I'm not downplaying the lightning. I'm not downplaying Niagara Falls. I'm not downplaying the opening of the Red Sea. But I'm saying, where is the power of God? Yes, it's in the waterfall. Yes, it's in the lightning bolt. But the power of God is when I drink in of His presence in worship. The power of God is when He moves in my heart and speaks to me and touches me and ministers to me. Where is the power? It's in us, and it's at work in us. Hallelujah. Jesus said in the very instant what they sung about tonight, He said, the power of God is just as great when I say to the man, your sins are forgiven you, as it is that I say when I say unto him, rise, take up your bed and walk. See, the Pharisees missed it. I take nothing from His power to say, rise, get up from that bed, carry it and walk. But Jesus made it clear, the power of God was just as much at work when He said to the man, your sins are forgiven you. I believe the Lord can heal cancer. We're going to pray that He does it. Amen. And that's a tremendous miracle. But it's just as the tremendous of a miracle when someone who felt themselves hopelessly lost in sin, when they come and confess their sins, and suddenly the power of God moves upon them and they rise and say, I've been forgiven. That's the power of God. Hallelujah. Because nothing in this world can do that. I'm going to be brief, but I'm just going to give some instances of the quiet power of God. Can I do that? The quiet power of God. The power is in the grace we experience. The power is in the grace. What are you talking about, Pastor Hurst? Amen. We come in here. I can't speak for everybody, but we come in here. We've made a mess of certain things during the week. We've messed up in a few things. We haven't gotten some things right. Amen. We come in here knowing we're unholy, unworthy. Amen. But we get in here in the house of God on a Sunday morning and begin to worship, and God begins to pour out undeserved strength and undeserved encouragement in our hearts. We know we don't deserve it, but all of a sudden we feel the very presence of God strengthening us, encouraging us. Even the power is in the grace. We come in here, we're depressed, we got problems, we got crises, but we come in here and God pours out grace and our spirits begin to soar. I'm telling you, that's not just the music, that's the power of God in His grace. We We come in here weak, and he gives us the strength to go on. We come in here empty, and by his grace, he fills us up. We come in here feeling like we're going to fall over, and by his grace, he fills us with the power of the Holy Ghost. We don't deserve that. We come in here, we made a mess of things during the week, but we get in here and God gets to moving, and we feel an indescribable joy, unspeakable and full of glory. It's more than the dynamics of the service. It's the power of God in grace. Amen. Amen. The power of God in grace is when he gives us the grace to let us know that we are forgiven in spite of all the wrong we've done. A psychiatrist can't give that to you, but the power of God can give you the grace to know you're forgiven. The power of God and grace can not only let you know you're forgiven, but the power of God and grace can enable you to forgive those that have offended you. The world will stir you up. The world will stir that thing up when people have done you wrong. You even think to yourself, you might even tell a friend, I could never forgive them. I can never get over what they've done. But oh, he begins to give grace. And suddenly you got the power to walk across the church and say, Brother Steve, you done me wrong, but I forgive you and I love you, man. That's not natural. That's the power of God. I'm telling you, the power of God is in the grace that brings reconciliation. Hallelujah. That brings spouses together. And parents with their children. Oh, aren't you glad for the power of grace? Even Paul would begin his epistles with a prayer, but he didn't ever begin, more miracles God give us, more signs and wonders God give us. But he did pray in those prayers at the beginning of his epistle. Oh, Father, give us grace and peace and mercy. Send that upon us. Why, I think Paul knew there's power in the grace of God. 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul had besought the Lord for help with this thorn in the flesh. Paul relates, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Brother Brock, in this description, Paul likened the grace God gave him to get through the problem. He likened that grace to the power of Christ upon him. Listen, you're misunderstanding me. If you're thinking I'm saying we shouldn't pray and believe God for miracles, we should. But my conclusion is God will show his power in one or two ways. He'll either send his power to heal, or he'll send his power to give grace to get through it with the victory. Amen. And then there's the power in the changed life. Look around, just don't point fingers. Look around. There are folks here used to be on drugs. There are former alcoholics. There are former people that were formerly bound in the grossest of sins. There are people here whose lives were ruined and wrecked and that did horrible things. There are folks, if you looked around, that were rebellious and hateful and just plain old mean. But if you look around, you're looking at changed folks. What changed them? The power of God changed them. Where is the power? Look around at the converted souls around you. Oh, hallelujah. How many knows what I'm talking about? I mean, what changed the people around you? And such were some of you. But what changed? The change was made by the power of God. People didn't just wake up one morning and say, I'm going to live different. I'm going to be good whereas I was bad. Amen. That wasn't what happened. The power of God changed them. Ask Paul where the power of God was. A persecutor of the church, a terrorist of the day, on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians. But when he got there, he preached Christ to them. That's the power of God. Oh, on and on we could go. James and Jude, the half-brothers of Jesus, never believed on their brother, were skeptics as he lived and died and rose again. But somewhere after that resurrection, their lives are changed. And there's two books in the Bible, James and Jude, that are evident that the skeptical, cynical half-brothers of Jesus were changed. Amen. Where is the power of God? Read their epistles and know you're reading the writings of changed men. And I'm telling you, his power is still able to change a lot. Don't ever look at someone and say they can't ever be saved. They can't ever know God. They can't ever live for God. They can't ever have a changed life. Never do that, because he's mighty to save. He has the power to save. He has the power to change. It's not by mind nor by power. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord. He can do it. Jesus, talking in a prayer to the Father, speaking of himself, says, as thou hast given him, John 17:2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Where is the power? Jesus said, I have the power. Yes, he had the power to work miracles. He proved that. But he said, I have got the power to give folks eternal life. Oh, hallelujah. I'm excited about that. He can save to the uttermost. He has the power to give eternal life to whomsoever will. And the devil can't keep them from being saved. If they want to be saved, God can save them. Where is the power of God? It's in the joy, hope, and faith that we feel in the midst of suffering and trouble. Hallelujah. I see people who just keep on serving God in spite of great difficulty. Amen. They do it. They've got great problems, Brother O'Hare, but they just keep serving God with victory in their soul. I, even as pastor, sometimes knowing the troubles of people, I think to myself, I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they keep on going. I don't know how they keep on living for God. They've got all kinds of trouble and they're still singing victory in Jesus, my Savior. How do they do it? I'll tell you how they do it. That's the power of God at work in them. They've got every kind of bad report. Hallelujah. But they still lift their hands up and say, I love you, Jesus. God is on the throne. It's not faking it. I said, it's not faking it. It's the power of God at work in them that gives them joy, hope, and faith right in the midst of their suffering. There's no other explanation. I've seen people in horrible situations never blame God, never get bitter, never give in, never give out, never give. They just keep on serving the Lord. Hallelujah. I think of Stephen. Brother Steve, they were stoning him to death, and his face lit up like a light bulb. And he said, Father, forgive them, because I see your son. How'd he do that? That's the power of God, as much as when Stephen healed folks, when that glory lit up his face. Hallelujah. Think of old Paul and Silas. Hey, man, I'm telling you, they had beat those men unjustly, threw them in the innermost dungeon, put their hands and feet in stocks, in there with the critters, in there with the dampness, in there with the vileness. But at midnight, they begin to sing praises to God. Hallelujah. You want to know where the power of God was? It was right there in the middle of the jail. Glory to God. And to prove that was the power of God, the chains started falling off. Hallelujah. How many believes there's a power of God to give us victory in the midst of the trial? Hallelujah. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Where is the power? It's in the Holy Ghost that gives us joy and peace and hope in the midst of our trouble. I've marveled, I don't want to call attention to folks, but I've marveled at Sister Norvell and her response to this cancer thing. Her victory, her faith. I know she's as human as much as any of us, but I'm telling you, she's got the goods. I feel like you receive what I have to say. I'm not taking away anything from the sensational power of God and miracles. But we can talk about the power of God and the gifts of the Spirit. We can talk about discerning of spirits. We can talk about healings and miracles and words of wisdom and knowledge and all. We can talk about the power of God and the gifts of the Spirit. But I want to tell you, there's as much power of God in the fruit of the Spirit as there is in the gifts of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, joy and love and peace and long-suffering and meekness and temperance. You get those things going on in your life, you've got as much power of God as if you have the discerning of spirits. Hallelujah. Well, glory, I feel His power at work in us. Colossians 1:11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Where is the power of God? He gives us joyfulness and long-suffering. Amen. Let's go on. Where's the power of God? About done. But the power of God is in the keeping. Oh, hallelujah. The power of God is in the keeping. 1 Peter 1:5. Who are kept by the power of God. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Peter said it succinctly. We are kept by the power of God. Amen. Amen. Brother Brock, you've served God a long time. I've served God a long time. But I think you would agree with me. We're not serving God today because we're so wise. We're not serving God today because we pull all off of our own resources. We're not serving God today just because we got so much determination, amen, and all of that, and those things do play a role, amen. We've got to make up our mind. We've got to choose whom we're going to serve. But I think Brother Brock would say with me, we are saved today because He kept us. Yes, we said we want, but it was the power of God that kept us. I'm not out in the world tonight because I've been kept by the power of God. I'm not out in sin tonight because I've been kept by the power of God. I haven't failed my wife. I haven't failed this pulpit, not because of my greatness. Yes, I made a decision, but the only reason I haven't failed is I've been kept by the power of God. You hear me, young people? Any young person that makes it, yes, they made up their mind as I preached this morning, but you're not kept by anything else than the power of God. Oh, aren't you glad for the keeping power of God? I'm telling you, we got young people here that have never smoked a cigarette, never drank any alcohol, never taken a drug, never visited an illicit site on the internet. And I'll tell you why. It's not just because they're afraid of mom and dad. It's because the power of God is keeping them. They're saying yes to the Lord, and God is keeping them from that mess out there. You want to know where the power of God is? Look right here. Aren't you glad for His keeping power? In fact, you're on your way to losing out the minute you say, I learned how to do this, and I'm still saved after all these years because I'm Mr. Goody Goody, and I know a few things, and I'm pretty smart and wise. Because he that thinketh he standeth, taketh heed lest he fall. Yes, you got to make the decision. But if you'll make that decision, He will keep you by His power. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2:5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And then where is the power? The power is in the Word of God. I don't want to be too transparent here, but as a man, I am subject to diverting thoughts as I preach. I am subject to concerns, you may not believe this, like the constraints of time. And sometimes the enemy will fight me even as I preach, saying, you're not doing any good. You're just up there spitting and slobbering and losing your beautiful singing voice doing it. But I've marveled when God's given me the grace just to press on and preach from the Word. As I've seen the Word of God as it goes forth, it's almost like a hammer hitting a brick wall. I'm talking about not you, but the enemy and his working. I've seen the Word of God, suddenly people begin to weep. People's face light up with the illumination of God. It's not me. It's the power of this Word. It is a living thing. It is quick and powerful. powerful. Where is the power? It's in this word. Hallelujah. That's why I'm not here to share illustrations. I'm not here for some newfangled doctrine. I'm here to tell you what the word of God said, because there's a power. I've seen it transform. I've seen the hard facades broke down as God's word gets a hold of folks. Amen. Romans 1:6, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. It's not just true of a preacher behind this pulpit, but you've seen it as well. You've been at work in the break room. You've been in the neighborhood. You've been at Walmart and begin to share the word of God, and you've seen the effect that it's had on people. Where is the power of God? It's in the word. It's in the word. You feel weak, get in the word. There's a power to it. Hallelujah. Acts 4:33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. As they preached, there was a power in the word of God. And then where is the power? The power is in the drawing of the Holy Spirit. It's in the drawing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm just going to give you one example. We were at Camp Dove this year. Amen. Just began singing, Brother Brad, song service. Nobody was pulling. Nobody was pumping. No one was trying to give instructions. There were no dramatics. No one was saying, children, you need to do this and you need to do that, and won't you please come to the altar. But I'm just thinking one example of 11-year-old boy that God's Spirit began to move upon him, and suddenly he was in the altar weeping and crying out and reaching out to God. What happened? The Holy Spirit drew him. I'm telling you, there is power in the drawing of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes folks don't even know what it is. They just feel nervous. They just feel upset. They just feel restless. If they would only realize it is the Spirit of God reaching out to them, pulling them, drawing them, when no one else can get through, when no one else can speak to that need, suddenly the Holy Ghost has got them and he's drawing them to Jesus Christ. And he just doesn't do it in a church service. You pray for your lost people. The Holy Spirit knows no boundaries, and he can reach out and he can draw. How many believes the power of God is in the drawing of the Holy Spirit? Some years back, we just began singing, happened to be singing, There's Power in the Blood. And a fella drove by, never been this way before, lost in sin. I believe he's even from another part of the country. I can't remember that. But suddenly I looked up and this man walked in toward the back. We kept singing, There's Power in the Blood. And the next few minutes, here he comes down the altar. Fell down, hadn't been in church in years and years and years. Began to pray and got gloriously saved. When he got through praying, he said, I was just driving by this church, and suddenly something got a hold of me and said, turn in there. You need to go in there. Amen. That wasn't something on the marquee, as good as that is. Amen. That was the Holy Spirit. The power of God in the drawing. How many believes in that power? Sandra has a person she works with that she's trying to witness to and get to come to church. And this person said, I don't like to go to church because every time I go, I sit there and cry all the way through. Sandra said, oh, that's the Lord dealing with you. You see, the restlessness goes, the crying goes when you surrender to the drawing and let God do what he wants to do. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, you can add to the list, but last of all, the power is in the sanctifying of our souls. Hallelujah. You think some of us got problems now? You ought to have seen us when the Lord first found us. He done a lot of work on us. Don't look at your spouse. Look right up here. I believe in his power to sanctify. There may be an ingrained problem that you have in your thinking, an ingrained problem you have of temptation, an ingrained problem you have of bad habit, an ingrained fear. But I'm telling you, the Lord has the power to change us. You don't have to live with everything that's wrong with you. I don't either. Because there is a power of God that will change. He changes us. He enables us to overcome. Amen. He changes us to be like Jesus. You seek Him, there's a power that one day you can say, I no longer blow my top. You don't believe there's a power greater than your anger? He changes us. Amen. No longer you can say, am I bound by a certain habit? He can even change our attitude. I've been an old grouch. I've found everything wrong with everybody and everything. But I got alone and God got to moving. And when He got through with me and I got up and His power was all over me, all of a sudden I was a sweet person. How many believes in His sanctifying power? 2 Peter 1:3, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue. His power gives us what we need to get to glory and virtue. Where is the power of God? I've given you just a few things here. And in this last thing, some folks say, I could never give that up. I could never do that. I could never overcome this. Not on your own. But with His power, you can. Would you come, music? Where is the power of God? It's in His grace. It's in the changed life. It's in the joy, hope, faith that we feel in the midst of suffering and trouble. His power is in the keeping. His power is in the Word of God. His power is in the drawing of the Holy Spirit. His power is in the sanctifying of our souls. And you can add the list. But here's a wonderful thing. Paul said, if you're saved, that power is at work within us. Amen. Do I want to pray for power? Yes. Do I want to pray for the power of miracles and signs and wonders? Certainly, we've got to have it. But while I'm praying for all that, I'm praying for more grace. I'm praying for souls to be converted. I'm praying for folks that's on the verge to give up, to know the keeping power of God. I'm praying that God would sanctify my soul. I'm telling you, it changes everything. Even when we sing, I want the power of Your Spirit to flow over me. I'm not just saying His power to give me the ability to work a miracle, but I want the power of His grace, the power of His life changing, amen, sanctifying, amen, upon my heart, upon my life. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. When we first prayed for Sister Norvell, amen, without any pre-thought, suddenly I found myself praying over and over, oh God, touch her according to the power that's at work in her. I know she's a godly woman and the power of God is in her. That power of God can heal her in a moment. Glory to God. I believe in that kind of power. Oh, hallelujah. Resurrection power, divine power, Holy Spirit power, eternal power. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. At a youth rally about a year ago, Brother Calicott preached at a youth rally from this text, a different theme, but the same text. And when he got through, he said, there it is. His power's at work in us. How many wants it? Come get it. That was it. And the young people streamed to the altar. I'm not Brother Calicott, but would you stand to your feet? If you need and want the power we preached about tonight, plus that power of miracles, that power of revival, if you want that power to have its way in you, come and get it. Come and let Him do it. Would you fill these altars saying, God, I want the power at work in me. I want Your power at work in me. I desire Your power at work in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Work in me tonight. Work in me at this altar. Hallelujah. If you're here and you're lost, He is mighty to save. He has the power to forgive sin. He has the power to change your life. Oh, hallelujah.